I am, most of you know, I am a school teacher, and I am teaching at the Christian school in Stouffville. And one of the things that we do in our school, we're a private school, is we still have extracurricular activities, unlike some schools. And one of the extracurricular activities that we do in our school is we have a chess club. And you may not know this about me, but I am a chess fanatic. I love the game. I love the strategy involved. And I very seldom let anyone beat me, and including the grade threes and the fours and the fives that would love to beat me. I just can't. I can't let them beat me. So I lead this chess club, and we have a wide variety of skills in this set. Some they choose to be in this club because the alternative is a study hall and, you know, kids and studying. Well, I'd rather go to chess with Mr. Ayer. And so I get some kids in there, and they're like, so what is chess anyways? So I've been teaching some of them how to do the moves, and you move the pawns this way, and the queen can go all the way across here, and rooks go straight, and bishops go straight, but on diagonal line. So there's all these rules of how to play. And then, you know, I teach them, and then I give them a sheet of paper so that they can remember as they play people, other people in the club. And then some of them, I mean, they're very brilliant young people. And, you know, I teach them the rules, and then they're like, okay, I'll take you on. So, okay, well, let's play. And so I can quickly assess after their second move when they try to do an illegal move that it's not going to be a very difficult, and I quickly point out, oh, you can't move that there. Well, why not? Because it's the rules. Oh, and they put their piece back. And then because I know that they don't know some things, I'll move my piece so it looks like they can take me. And what they do is they know that their queen's very powerful. And so I put my man so that they can get my man if the little pawn was out of the way. And so they see my man, they go, ha-ha! And they pick up the queen and they go, whew! And they like to smash the pieces as opposed to just knock them out of the way. And I say, oh, that was a really good move. Too bad you can't do that. Why not? The rules. And so I reteach them some of the rules, and then they figure out, okay, maybe Mr. Ayer knows a little bit about this, and they don't challenge me for a little while. And I enjoy doing that because it's fun. Teachers have to have their fun some way, right? And if it's at the expense of the children, all the better. So I don't really feel that way. But I teach them the rules to play so that then no matter who they're playing with in chess, whether they play chess online or with their friends or whatever, they can actually play correctly. Because if you do things that are illegal, you sometimes will either lose a piece or you have to move that piece and it wouldn't be your best strategy. And so they're learning these rules so that they can play better. Now, the scripture that we chose today is called Rules for Holy Living. And there are rules as well as to how we should be living our lives, our holy lives. And if we can follow these rules for living, then we will be successful. It all depends on your definition of success. But if we want to live a holy life, then we need to follow these rules. And so we're going to look at some of these rules that Paul puts down for us in Colossians, and we're going to look at a few other things together this morning. But we're going to pray. We're going to ask that the Lord would speak to each one of us together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to be here together this morning to worship you and to refocus our hearts and our minds upon the right things. And we ask, Lord, that as we look into your word today, that you would fill us with your truth, help us to know things that we're doing incorrectly so that we can change Help us to know things that we're doing well so that we can continue and persevere. And Lord, most of all, we want to thank you that you have given us your word, because we know that it is useful to help us live lives, holy lives, that are pleasing to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for not just a set of rules, but guidelines, so that we can live and be successful in everything that we do. And we pray your blessing on this time of listening to your word, and we do pray, God, that we would be listening, that whatever I might say would not overshadow what you have to say. So, Lord, help us to be open to your Spirit's leading and prompting together. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Now, I know exactly how long I have. I'm keeping my eye on the clock because I don't want any, what's the word? Harlem shaking at the back. If you don't know what Harlem shaking is, I don't know either. I'm going to find out when I get home today, though. Okay, last time I was here, I spoke about some things that were wrong in the Corinthian church. Now, if you weren't here, I'll just go over it very quickly, because I'm not going to do two sermons today. Okay, well, I will. I'll just shorten one 2-minute sermon and then a normal one. Okay, so it was entitled "God May Have Something to Say About That." And we looked at how the Corinthian church, they would say, or Paul said, "You say everything is permissible, but God says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial." And Paul, as he wrote, he was saying, "This is what you guys keep saying, but this is the truth." And there was he was kind of showing us the difference between what we say and believe and try and follow in our lives versus what God really wants us to believe and know as truth. And so we looked at how there were different voices to listen to. We can listen to the kind of the people around us, and sometimes to our own sinful nature or our own desires. Or we can listen to the Lord. And hopefully, as we grow closer with our walk with him and as we're mentored and discipled in the body of Christ, our desires will actually match up and line up with the Lord's. And so there won't be that big division. But in the Corinthian church, they had that. And so they were saying one thing, but this was the truth of what God truly was saying. And I wanted to kind of move on from that. And so that's where this sermon kind of comes out of. It's like, okay, so this is what the world says, and this is what God says. And if I want to please God, I know that I need to be doing what God says and not listening to this voice as much, no matter how tempting it may be, no matter how tantalizing it may be to my flesh and to my body. I need to resist listening to the wrong voices and continue to listen to the right voices. And that brings us to Colossians chapter 3, which in my version has the title "Rules for Holy Living." And that's why I put that as the title, "Rules for Holy Living." And I put an exclamation, I don't know if it's, oh, it's not there. Exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark, question mark. And I'm glad that Pastor Stan didn't change that, because he may have thought, oh, what's Pastor Glenn doing here? Typo. But I did that on purpose, because sometimes we don't like rules. We really don't like rules. My son absolutely, well, he doesn't always hate rules, but he definitely lets his opinion be known when he doesn't like the rules. We give him a certain amount of time to play on the computer, and when it's time to end, he doesn't like that rule anymore. But at the beginning, oh, you have 15 minutes to play. He likes that rule. Yay, I have 15 minutes. Okay, your time is up. Oh, now I don't like the rule. And so we have this love-hate thing with rules. And but unfortunately, rules are there for our benefit, especially God's rules. And if we choose to follow God's rules, we will be successful. So let's have a look at some of these rules. starts in Colossians 3, verse 1, says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above." I'm going to stop there. Set your hearts on things above. And really, when you hear the word heart in the Bible, it's often linked to our desires. Not always, but oftentimes when it says put your heart on something, or we'll say I'm putting my whole heart into it, and what we're really doing is, or we've got our heart set on something, and it's because it's what we desire. And so if Paul says here, God speaking through him, set your hearts on things above, he's really saying put your desires on things above. And so let me ask the question, what are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? What are you striving after? What are your goals? What are your dreams? What are you filling your daily life with? Because those are the things, probably, that you desire. What you're filling your time with, what you're pursuing, those are the things that you've really got your heart on. I was thinking about this. You know, you often see people go like this, or they go like this. And I thought, how come we never thought of that when I was younger? I don't know. But what do you put your heart on? It's not just on a photo or go like that, but what do you truly put your desires on? When it's Valentine's Day, how many of you gave out Valentine's this year? No! Even the married ones in the congregation? Okay, well, I didn't either. Okay, no, I did give one. I gave one to my wife. But I helped my kids because they're just young still, right? And in elementary school, they give out Valentine's Day. And they're also told still at the young age that you can't just give one to your best friend in the class, right? You have to give them to everyone in the class, right? Because you don't want anyone to feel left out. So as a father, I found it quite interesting and I was curious as to how my kids would do this. And so we bought these little packages of princess ones with I love you and stuff on them. And my daughter put them all out on the table. And she's like, oh, I really like this. Oh, and this one's really good. And so she kind of put them in order of the ones that she thought were the prettiest or the nicest. And so after she kind of ranked them, she went, okay, oh, this is the nicest one. This one's for Cassie. Cassie's her best friend. I know that. Cassie's her best friend in class. So this one's the best. And so it has to go to Cassie. And, well, this one's nice. This one will go to Faith because she kind of likes Faith too. And then it was kind of getting harder. So she went to the bottom and went, okay, well, this one's for Josh. She didn't like Josh very much. Josh is not her favorite. And so I just wondered if my son would do the same thing. And he wanted Spider-Man ones. We couldn't find them, so we got car ones. And if you've seen the car movies, there's Mater, which is the old rusty guy. And then there's the red one. I have no idea what his name is. But the red one is like the cool car. And so he found the red ones. And he went, oh, this one's going for Jackson. And there were two of them. And this one goes to Cullen. And his favorite ones went to his best buds in the class. And then it's like, oh, Mater. Oh, yeah, this one goes to Emily. It was very interesting the way they ranked their Valentines. And they sought out the best to give to their best. Okay, now some of you see where I'm going with this, right? Where do you put your energy? It's probably wherever your desires are. And if your desire is to live a life that's pleasing God, and honoring to him, then what you're going to need to do is, just like my kids, you got to seek out that best thing and you got to give that to God. Because if you're giving your absolute best to become the best basketball player, it's not going to amount to much. Well, some people will end up being NBA stars and whatever. I don't want to squash anyone's dreams. And maybe God wants you or has called you to be a basketball guy or coach or girl or cheerleader or whatever. And God may call you into that direction, and in which case, go for it, because God wants you to. But in essence, if you're giving yourself to something that's not really going to be lasting, are you really giving God your best? Because if we're to set our hearts on things above, if our desires are for things above, then we need to be pursuing God with our best and giving him our best. So you don't stay up until 12:30, 1:30 in the morning to watch the movie when you have to come to church the next day. Because that's not giving God your best, is it? Psalm 37, verse 4. If you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, it talks about where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I don't want to look them all up, but hopefully if you can scratch them down. These verses all talk about where our heart is and our desires. And if your desire is to please the Lord, then you need to make him your priority in your life. You need to make him the priority in your life. Now, it says this, to set your heart on things above, and then it carries on, though. I can already tell we're going to have some Harlem shuffling at the back or whatever that's called. Okay, I'll cut this into two sermons. Okay, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You see, if we set our hearts on things above, some of us might immediately think, oh, well, set my heart on things above. Well, as the song that we sang, no more heart or no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. Those are heavenly things, right? There'll be mansions, and I think one of the lines, it was streets of gold, if I remember something like that in one of the songs. Yeah, and I wrote that down, honestly. Some of us, me in particular, when I think of heaven, I think of a new body. Yay. Some of you, you don't need to worry about that. But that's one of the things. Set your heart on things above. Wow, I'm going to have a new body. You know, I'm going to have a mansion in glory. I'm not going to need my sleeping bag. I'm going to be reunited with lost friends and relatives. But that's not what we're to be focusing our hearts on. Yeah, those are heavenly things, and those are wonderful things, and those are blessings from God. But we're supposed to be setting our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And this is really reminding us, as he tells us to focus our heart or our desires on things above, it's not to be on earthly types of blessings. It's where Christ is. And so our desires are to be Christ. Our desire is to be Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated. It's to be God. That's what we should be desiring. That's what our heart should be set on. So Paul gives us this picture. Set your heart on things above. And then he gives us this picture of what it is. It's where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We see Christ for who he is just in that picture. He's at the right hand of God. He has the power and the authority of God. And that's whom we are supposed to be putting our trust in and our faith in and our hope in and are putting our desires in and upon. So how do we change our desires? Because I don't know about you, but last time I checked, I got skin on and I have earthly desires. And, you know, even this morning, I'll confess, I won't tell my wife this, but I'll confess to you and to the Lord. I stopped off at Tim Horton Donuts and I got a Boston cream donut. I was just dying when I left the house. It's like, I need something. Oh, I know it's slippery and it's going to take me longer to drive here, but I need a Boston cream donut. And I drive right past a drive-thru and I got one. I hope I didn't get any chocolate on my face today. But I did it. I had an earthly desire, craving, and I gave in before I come to preach. And I have skin. So how do we have our desires all heavenly bound and still live in an earthly world? Well, does it mean that I'm sinning by having a Boston cream donut? No. Well, maybe. I don't think I was this morning. I just didn't have time for breakfast, so that was my breakfast. That's why I'm not telling my wife. So how do we change our desires and our dreams and goals? Okay, so this will be next sermon, but verse 2, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, the heart in the first verse talks about our desires. And right in the second verse, he's showing us, God's revealing to us that not only do we have to have our desires on God, but then how do we do that? How do we change our desires if they're not lined up with God? Well, then we put our minds on things above as well. And so it's not just our heart and our desires, but it's also our minds or the way we think, and our thoughts are to be directed upwards as well. So we put our hearts and our minds on heavenly things, not on earthly things. There are really two ways I think that we can talk about thinking or thoughts. When it says set your minds on things, I believe that that's talking about the way that we think. And I'm going to just quickly talk about two different types of thinking. One is like in Philippians, where whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, there's a big long list. Think on these things. If anything is honoring to God, think on these things. In other words, don't pollute your life with the garbage and filth that this world is filled with. It's all around us. It's easy to fall into that. But we're to set our thinking and our thoughts on things above, and so we can focus on beautiful things that are honoring and glorifying to God. But then there's the second type of thinking or truth, and that is the way that we think. And notice here in verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then verse 3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, the first verse was the heart, and then he reminds us, focus on Jesus. The second one is now set your mind on things above, and then he throws a truth at us, smacks us in the head. For you died. That person that used to think incorrectly and be filled with the list that goes later on, your earthly nature, which is sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, which is idolatry, all of that huge list that we read and I didn't even get to this morning. We're dead to those things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. Your life is now hidden in Christ. We are a new creation, it says in 1 Corinthians 5. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I'll just end with a little story that I heard. Okay, I'm putting this away now. And I don't know if it's a true story, but I thought it was a brilliant story. It's about, I think it was Napoleon. And Napoleon one time had his steed or his stallion beside him, and I don't know, something spooked him, and the horse bolted, and it took off. And a private, who's kind of low ranking, got on his horse quickly and chased after it and brought it back to Napoleon. And Napoleon said to him, "Well done, Captain." And the man took it seriously, and he immediately got rid of that uniform, and he got a captain's uniform, and he started living as though he was a captain in the army now. And I thought, what a brilliant story. I hope it's true. I don't know. You can look online yourself. Isn't that the way God kind of treats us? We are wretched and sinful. And then when we come to Christ, when we accept that love and the forgiveness that Jesus, only Jesus can give it to us and offers it to us freely, we're a new creation, it says. The old is past. It's gone. And now our life is hidden in Christ. We need to start living as though we believe that. We need to start following the rules for holy living. And we do that, I believe, by starting with our heart, our desires, and our thought life, and making sure that our minds are filled with truth. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your truth. The truth that you have put in your word for us to read on a regular basis so we can come to know you better, so that we can know what pleases you and that we can follow your ways. And we ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. And we pray, God, that you would give us the desires of our heart as we seek after you. For there is that condition, Lord, and we know it, that if our desires in our heart are honoring and pleasing to you, we know that you will grant us those desires. And so, God, we pray that if our desires are off, that you would help us to focus on the right things, on you, and that you would give us new desires, filling us with your Holy Spirit. And now we pray, Lord, that as we finish our service, that you would continue to be with us and guide us, guide our desires and direct them to you, but also guide our thoughts to be filled with truth. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.